WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song!
This is the Firefly Funhouse! And I want to introduce you to some very special friends that I met along the way.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar.
Hey guys, this is Renee Paquette.
This is Kane from WWE.
This is WWE Superstar Drew McIntyre.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
Hi, this is Bree. And this is Nikki, and we're the Bella Twins.
This is Christopher Daniels, and what I like to do on my off days is listen to the rap, and now you are...
And it is awesome!
Stratisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Goodness gracious, great balls of fire!
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm gonna break you, bitch, you hear me?
You can live, but you can't touch.
Ruthless aggression.
With your host...
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
Stickers!
And her producer, Sir Rockin.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
If you smell...
Ow!
What the game is playing!
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Yowie wowie!
Everyone, welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. It is September, guys. Did you know that? So you can subscribe to this channel for 20% off, or you can use your Prime Gaming sub here for free for 30 days. If you want to do either, you can hit the little purple button down at the bottom of the screen and subscribe. Either way, it is that simple. You can also follow the channel or hang out and chat or listen to the archive. We are happy to have you any way we can get you. I'm your host, Lindsay Ward. Joining me, as always, is the ever-faithful producer slash co-host slash handyman, Sir Rockin.
We're here. We're live. It's Thursday. You can follow us on Twitter at Wild Talk Radio, at Rack Radio Show, at Lindsay Ward. You can come to WildTalkRadio.com, RackRadioshow.com, right here, twitch.tv/WJLive, and listen to the program. Do all those fun things. Did you know you can use creator code ROCKINSOCK or Lindsay Ward in the Fortnite item shop when you buy your battle passes, because the new season of Fortnite just started, and we're going to talk about it in the back half of the show.
We're hashtag epic partners.
Ding.
Because, you know, we got to throw that in there because, you know, FCC. Yay.
Yeah. They make you say stupid things.
Well, you know, there's legal matters that we, you know, have to cover.
Yeah. I know the legal matters. Hashtag ad.
But we have a stacked show. We are going to be talking all about the new NXT here after the news because the rebrand is live. NXT 2.0 is the thing. We're going to discuss it and we're going to kind of break it down for you. And yes, something else happened this past Monday. The aliens are kind of gone. We are now in season 8 of Fortnite. We've had a few days kind of look at the map, digest it, see all the changes, so we're going to talk about it and the battle pass in the back half of the show. If you want to see my battle pass review from day one, where I had like no coffee in my system, you can go check out Rack Radio Show's YouTube. You can also go to the VOD on twitch.tv/LinsWard, LNASWRD, and it's all there. Ding! So I say we drop right into news, brought to our friends over at mbgfilms.youtube.com/mbg1211.
Let's do it.
And I actually want to start, because it is one of the biggest stories of the week, with the Blamerants.
All right, let's hit it.
Bones breaking, backs cracking, shoulders snapping. It's this week's injury roundup.
So, this kind of came out of left field last week.
Sunday.
This week.
Sunday night, 7:30.
Sunday night.
7:30 p.m.
Samoa Joe was forced, asked.
Told.
However you want to phrase it, that he was going to have to relinquish the NXT championship that he had literally just won due to an unknown injury.
Hashtag blame Brent.
Do you like what I wrote in there? Something?
Yes.
Something?
Something? Yes, it is very much unclear what is wrong with him. They are being very hush-hush about it. He just said that it was going to be a temporary setback and that he hoped to be back soon. I think there's a lot of speculation surrounding what it could be.
The speculation ranges from everything from COVID to a head injury to, you know, probably something to do with the heart or something along those lines, conditioning-wise. My gut says it's like a conditioning issue.
I think it might be conditioning or concussion. I don't want to speculate too hard in terms of what it is, but it's obviously significant enough that they found it and they're like, yeah, no, we need to take care of this and so we're going to need the title back. Which sucks, because he, after sitting on the bench for 2 years, a year and a half.
He's had 3 matches in 2 years.
He finally gets the clearance to come back, and this happens to him. So it's really, really, really unfortunate, and I hope everything is okay with Joe, and I hope he has a speedy recovery to just be fine. Like, that's the thing. We don't know what it is, but it's like, as long as he's fine, if he can get back in the ring again, that's great, but I would rather him just be okay. Because it seems like it's something scary, but we don't know what it is. Because normally there you hear what it is, and the fact that it's being kept so close to the vest, it has to be something relatively major.
And for him to be held out medically, it makes you wonder. So it's like, what's really going on? Because, if it's a sprained knee, you would hear about it. Twisted ankle, you would hear about it. Dislocated shoulder, you would hear about it. But he's worked one time, and my gut tells me if it's not a COVID-related thing, it had to come back from the medicals following his match. Which means he has to get something under control. I talked about this Sunday, and it's like, you think back to Keith Lee and what they found with medicals with him. It makes you wonder, you know? Because they never said anything about Keith Lee, and Keith Lee had nothing, didn't have a championship, so you didn't have to make a statement why he was gone. Joe was a champion, so you had to make a statement why he was gone. Some people believe that, there's nothing going on, and it was just, new show, new champ. Lol.
No, I don't think that's it. And I'm going to tell you why I don't think that's it.
Please tell me why.
Spoiler alert, because they put the title back on Tommaso Ciampa, who is every bit of Joe's age. Might be a little bit younger, might be a little bit older, but they did not put it on a young 20-something performer.
No, they could have. No, they couldn't. No, they didn't. Yeah.
The opportunity was there and they didn't do it. So, whatever this is, I hope Joe is okay. I hope he recovers, and I hope there is nothing seriously wrong.
Yeah.
So, all of our love and thoughts to Joe, and prayers, if he accepts them. I don't know if he accepts them or not. So, but all the happy thoughts to Joe. Sticking with WWE as we move on, some other pretty big stories. Doudrop got married, so congratulations to her and her new husband. I saw the wedding pictures on Twitter, and they were gorgeous. She looked lovely.
She did. She was engaged for, I think, 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
I think they were trying to have it last year and,
COVID.
COVID.
Yeah.
So that's a thing.
You know, the fact that they were able to get to that point through everything shows the true test of their relationship. So congratulations to them.
Mm-hmm.
In other news, Seth Rollins is going to be the next guest on the Broken Skull Sessions on the 26th of September. And he's replacing someone.
Doo, 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 doo.
There you go. We can't see him, but, he's replacing someone.
Doo, 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 doo.
So it should be a really good interview. I actually kind of look forward to watching it.
The promo they put out was great.
Yeah. So we'll see how this goes. Also, the draft is coming, guys.
Yay.
Are you excited? Can you feel it? It's coming October 1st and 4th. It's going to start on SmackDown and finish on Raw, which is interesting that it's going to go over the weekend.
Well, that's how they've been doing the last couple go-rounds, because they do it on... because SmackDown is the premiere show. And
wow, that looks...
The Detroit-style pizza.
Yeah. That's like a heart attack in a pan, but God, that looks really good right now.
So because SmackDown is the premiere show, they started on Fox and then rolled around on Raw. Because that's the way it is now. SmackDown's number one, Raw is number two, clearly. And if you have other people, they're number four or three.
We're not going to go there. So yeah, so should be... this will actually be a fairly fascinating draft to watch, I'm going to say, because... with the rebrand of NXT, with everything going on, I expect to see a lot of movement out of developmental and onto the two main shows. And I expect to see movement on the two main shows as well. I feel like they're really going to shuffle the rosters and they're really going to balance the rosters because they have to make the networks happy. So I expect people to move.
One person who might move is signed a new deal.
That's right. Mr. Peter Dune has signed a brand new 3-year deal with WWE. So congratulations to him. I say that's a good call on his part.
Very good call.
And last but not least for WWE, the Wrestlings made an announcement today.
Did they?
In typical Johnny and Candace fashion, we had a wonderful video from the two where we got to see the gender reveal of the baby. This is one gender reveal that I approve of, because normally they're really tacky, but this was good, where you had Johnny and Padme playing with the balloon and Candace being all mom comes up and she's like, what are you doing? No, that's the gender reveal balloon. And Johnny's like, what? That's the gender reveal balloon. You didn't take my suggestions?
One was he is a stork guy.
Named Mork.
Because
of course he does. And, well, Johnny and Padme continue to play with the balloon, and he tosses the balloon to Candace. She drops it, and Padme gets it. And when you know it, she's covered in dust from the balloon, and it's blue. And Johnny and Padme are celebrating because the Wrestlings are having a boy. So congratulations to them. I hope Johnny swept up the mess afterwards.
Yeah.
Moving on to the other news, Bobby Fish has joined MLW.
He'll be a part of their Opera Cup coming up really soon.
And Impact Wrestling announced the return of the All Knockouts pay-per-view, Knockouts Knockdown.
Which they're taping this weekend.
So that's exciting for them.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of interested in seeing who they have. Rhino.
Mercedes Martinez is one of them.
Ooh! Nice. So, sticking with Impact for a second, Rhino signed a new deal, so congratulations to him.
Okay, before you get to the last thing, there is an AEW story that we need to talk about. It's going to shock the world.
Oh.
Are you ready? They have booked a live television taping in a city named Chicago.
They're going back to Chicago again?
The day before Thanksgiving, they're taping Dynamite and Rampage in Chicago.
How many times are you going to go to Chicago in 6 months? I mean, I understand who you signed, and I respect that, like, you want his re-debut to be in Chicago, and then you kind of, like, accidentally, or, like, set it, like, 2 weeks before you're supposed to have a pay-per-view in Chicago, but you don't need to go back there right before Thanksgiving.
Apparently, I remember hearing that they wanted it to be a tradition to do the tapings in Chicago before Thanksgiving, because Tony Khan's from Chicago as well, so that makes sense.
I think you can forego the tradition this year, because, like...
Nope. It's a tradition like no other. Wrestling in Chicago if you're AEW.
I mean, y'all are tapping that kind of hard.
Yeah.
Anyway. Because they weren't that lively at the pay-per-view, right?
No, they were loud. For parts. Kind of wore out the crowd, I think. You're gonna wear out that crowd. But hey, if you can sell tickets, sell them.
You could go somewhere else.
I mean, you could. Or you can go to Chicago.
I mean, who wants to go to Chicago in November? Jesus.
All Elite Wrestling.
Nasty and cold, and I think there's snow.
A little early for snow.
I don't know.
Yeah, a little early for snow. 2 weeks later, I think you would get snow. Anyway, in other news.
In other news, but last but certainly not least, we have exciting news on the Bo Dallas, a.k.a. Taylor Rotunda front. He returned to Twitter and Instagram, and I will tell you, this is a big deal because he's never on these two platforms, ever. I think he lurks, but he never posts. So our boy, who was let go back in April, his 90 days is about up, or it should be up.
It's way past up, yeah.
He has decided what he's going to do. He's going to YouTube.
What? He's going to YouTube gaming?
No, he's not going to YouTube gaming. He's going to YouTube, where he's going to do, at least from what we can tell, cooking videos. I'm ecstatic for this. I can't wait. It's under his channel is Taylor Rotunda. You can subscribe to it. There's no content as of right now.
Content debuts October 1st, I believe.
Yeah, he's launching his first video October 1st. I really kind of want him to live stream.
Don't think he's going to live stream.
But it would be awesome if he did.
It would be awesome if he did, but I think they're going to be highly produced videos.
Oh yeah, just based on the thumbnail he put out. Yeah, totally. He's in a apron that says Mr. Right, drinking out of a gold goblet, holding out what I believe is chicken. You can go to his Twitter and you can kind of see all the details, but those are basically the details. It's youtube.com, Taylor Rotunda. That's not the URL, but that's how you find him.
If you sub to the channel enough, you'll be able to get his custom URL.
Yeah. He's at 610 subscribers, so everybody please, please, please go subscribe to his channel, support him, because as you can tell, this is something that he really wants to do, so let's be good people and support the younger Rotunda. The other one took to Twitter, too. Apparently, we've never seen him. No. Bray Wyatt also took to Twitter. He also made some pronouncements. He said that we will see him again very soon. Nobody knows what that means in typical Bray Wyatt fashion. Or I shouldn't keep calling him Bray Wyatt, but that's what I've called him for like 10 years, and that's all I know him as. So Wyndham, which feels weird, man. Wyndham, we'll see him again very soon. Nobody knows, again, when. People are speculating it could be in the draft for WWE that they've gotten him back. I would sincerely doubt that at this point, but we can be hopeful. There is still speculation he is going to AEW, but that's about 6 weeks off, so we'll see.
We will, in fact, see.
So, NXT?
Let's go to NXT.
It's time for this week's edition of the NXT Rundown.
So, welcome to NXT 2.0. Let's start at the beginning and work our way to the end, shall we?
Okay.
The new building. Thoughts?
Well, the new old building.
The new paint job to the building.
I felt like, you and I were talking about this, so I felt really bad for the paint crew because the building was originally white, and then they painted it to black for NXT because they made it the permanent home of NXT, and then they had to paint it white again. So I feel really, really bad for the the crew there, because like, god damn it, we just did this and now we have to do it again. But I'm probably in the minority on this. I really like it.
So do I.
I'm gonna tell you guys why I really like it.
Tell me why.
It's clean, it's fresh, it's bright, you can see everything, which I know everybody's like, oh my god, you know, it's you can see everything, I think, and it's no, you can see everything. The crowd isn't hidden, because one of the tricks that they used to have to use for whatever the fuck it's called now, former CWC's former Performance Center, and then Full Sail,
the home was, the home of NXT.
Okay, that's not a name.
That's the name.
The building.
The arena.
Was that the arena, in quotations, was that it didn't have a full rap crowd. It only had a crowd on like the camera side and then a little bit of a rap. And so they made everything dark. So you couldn't necessarily see that when they were shooting the shows. They reconfigured the space so that way there is actually a half rap
I would say three quarters. There's a little, it's actually full, but there's a little bit on the hard camera side, but you have people at the entrance and it wraps all the way around.
So yeah, so it's actually a really, and so because of that, you want to be able to see the people in the crowd. So they brightened it up and they've made it fresh. The other really great thing about the white space with the light up logo, okay, because they have the logo on the wall, the new logo, and everybody's like, oh my god, it has like splishy splashy colors in it. It's exactly what I figured they were going to do with it, which is they're going to do like what they do with Marvel, where they can have anything they want in that logo. So the main NXT logo that's on the wall is an LED logo. It normally has the splishy splashy colors, but they can have it have the talents, like colors and videos and imagery and stuff in the logo as they're coming out.
the color scheme of the talent.
Yeah, I want to call it the branding. Like, I'm trying to fight calling it the branding.
No, it is. No, but that's exactly what it is. The branding for the superstars. That's exactly what it is.
So, it's, I really, really like that. It makes the space pretty much customizable to anything they need it to be. They can light it however they want. They can dress it however they want. They can really do whatever they need to it, and it's going to be a lot better than just having a giant black, dark room that it isn't necessarily as visible when you do stuff like that. I mean, I will say one of the detractors for me is it is a tad stark on the back walls. Like, there's not, you see exactly kind of how expansive the space is, and so they don't have, you know, stuff along the back of walls behind the crowd other than the logo, so it does feel a little stark and bare. It does feel a little cold at times because it's just a giant white space. But overall, I like it. My main concern is actually the barriers. It's the one thing that I wasn't necessarily a fan of because it's weird. They're like clear barriers, so I'm not sure if they've been like crash tested or not, or if they're just not going to go into them anymore. But overall, I feel really, really positive about the change. But I think one of my problems with this show was there was, and I don't want to say this in a negative way, too much change. There was like the new building, the new space to get used to, and then they introduced a literal metric fuck ton of new talent.
It was a rebrand. It was a refresh of the logo and the branding and all the superstars.
But the set is really, really clean. Like, the stage is really, really clean. I like the entranceway. It's very Thunderdome-esque.
Yeah, the curvature kind of makes it like a Thunderdome look. It fully wraps around it. It's very inclusive at times, and it you can do whatever you want with it. So that was a cool thing. I like the coloring. It's, you could do a little bit more, like you said, with like the dead space behind everything, that maybe they will over time, but we'll see. You said it looked like the impact zone a little bit. It does.
Uh-huh.
One thing someone wrote was like, it looks like a nightclub a little bit, and I can see that.
Yeah, I could buy into that.
So they gave it a different presentation. They did had different camera angles, like the hard camera moved a little bit. They attempted to refresh the show to make it different and stand out in a different way from the darkened environment you once saw, and it was very evident that they were in a new direction throughout the show, and it started at the very beginning, where they introduced the first new wrestler, Bron Breakker.
AKA Rick Steiner's son.
Which is Bronson Rick Steiner? Rick Steiner? However you pronounce the last name. People were up in arms that he was not called Rick Steiner, like it was leaked on the internet that he could be called that. I know why they call him Bron Breakker, because it sounds cool. Everyone, oh, it's a terrible name. It's, when you announce it to a large audience, it's going to sound really cool. Kids will like the name.
Think of Brock Lesnar and then think of Bron Breakker.
Yeah. It's cool. It's a kid-friendly name. You know what else it is, Lindsay? And people hate me when I say this. It's a marketable name.
Oh, totally. Well, that's the whole new focus with WWE as a whole, is that they're, everything they're doing, everything they're trying to do, every character, anything that hits TV has to be marketable.
In some way,
because it has to be able to carry itself. It has to be able to make money for the company. They don't want characters anymore that, you know, basically they make action figures for them and they don't sell, right? Or they have characters and they really can't make any kind of merchandising for them. They want people to be able to have t-shirts and everything else, so that way they can, you know, make money for themselves and the company and make it more profitable.
So the show started where we had teasers from the four wrestlers who are involved in the main event for the NXT championship, because the Fatal 4 we talked about last week became for the title because of Joe's injury.
Uh-huh.
LA Knight was cutting his promo and he was interrupted by Bron Breakker. It led to a match between Bron Breakker and LA Knight. Surprisingly, but not so surprisingly, Bron Breakker beat LA Knight. He looked great.
He's a star. He's an absolute star in the making.
Like, give him a little bit more experience. I'm just sort of get his feet under him, because they just signed him. And I know he's been training and everything, but it's like, he looked really good. And they came in and they introduced him as Bron Breakker. And he made an impact. He beat one of the top contenders for the championship in his first night. You've now established him. He's not just a dude on the roster. He's a guy that needs to be taken seriously. Which, if you're going to rebrand the show, that's what you need. You now know Bron Breakker is now a centerpiece of the brand, which is what you need, you know? So there was that. Then we had Imperium taking on Josh Briggs and Brooks Jensen. They came up with this brand new team of Briggs and Jensen. They were like a country type act.
It was different.
It was different. So everything was bright and colorful, right? Then you had Imperium's entrance, and then went black and white, and it looked really different.
I didn't hate it.
No, it was a nice contrast of what it was, to what we're seeing, and then back to what it was.
You know what it reminded me of? If I could be serious for a moment.
Yeah.
It's that.
A little bit. Nothing wrong with it. Brooks Jensen is another second generation. He's Bull Buchanan's son. I was trying to figure out who he was, and I had to look it up. So we had Steiner's kid, now we had Brooks Jensen. Brooks and Josh lost, but they'll rebound and whatever. Because not all new talent has to win on the first shot, especially if you're developing talent and trying to figure out roles for them. So we've had two kids with a history, and they're not leaning on the history. They're trying to create their own niche in the industry.
By the way, I'd like to point out that for everybody that's like talking shit about WWE not signing indie talent anymore, there's a reason why they're not signing any indie talent anymore. They just signed a metric fuck ton of second and third generation stars or talent. I shouldn't call them stars, but talent.
Superstars.
I don't know. For whatever reason, they used to call them that and it just got embedded in my head. But like, they've signed a bunch of talent that are from wrestling families or wrestling backgrounds. And they're going to go with that. They're going to bring in a bunch of young kids and they're going to see what they've got.
Because they want to get away from the flippy indie style. There's nothing wrong with it. Because if one brand's doing flippy indie, you got to be different.
Yep.
Why are you going to be the same flippy indie company doing Tope Suicidas every other match? Anyway, making her in-ring debut was B-Fab. She took on Katrina Cortez. Solid little match. B-Fab needs some work. But she has personality. She cut a promo after the match. Her and Elektra are going to get into it. I was fine with all that.
They've definitely got something there with B-Fab. I'm looking forward to see how she progresses. Like, it wasn't a five-star classic, but it was a fine little match.
She went in there, she did a few moves, and it was more about establishing, oh, you don't think I can go? Here I go. Like, she's not going to be in the ring all the time, but if she needs to go, she can go.
Here's the thing. It's setting her up as not just a pretty piece of eye candy.
She's not just a pretty face.
Yeah, she's not just a pretty face. They're establishing that she can hang with these boys. And she can fight, and she can go, and she can do what she needs to do. And most importantly, she can take care of her damn self. She doesn't need anybody else in that group to save her. And that's what they're trying to set up. Same thing with Elektra. She doesn't need the boys to save her. She can handle her own business.
So we had,
which is a nice change.
So we had Samantha Irvin in the ring, and she brought out Carmella Hayes, who was the winner of the breakout tournament. He's now got the juice. He says he has a target on back because he has a contract. So, to have his back, he called on his boy, Trick Williams. Trick said he has the gift of gab and the gift of the jab, and that's why his words will hit so heavy. Williams said that Hayes is the golden child of NXT, but he has a bone to pick with Melis. He said, why are you acting so humble? Melis said, Trick is right now, it's time not to hold back. He's the chosen one. He said, when he shoots, he doesn't miss, and when he passes, Trick catches. Trick said that's how it's going to be. You had Duke Hudson come out. Hudson told Hayes that he was lucky when he won in the tournament. Hudson then came in the ring, then was attacked by Trick Williams. They laid him out. Good setup. It was an awkward little promo at times because you could tell this is the first time, probably in a while, he's been in a ring, live mic, having to cut a promo. It was clear Carmelo Hayes is going to be another foundational piece of the brand.
I'm going to be honest. I was waiting for the turn.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but I was sitting here and I'm watching them and I'm listening to it. I'm like, okay, all right. They're buddies. They're friends. They're going to look out for each other. Which one's going to turn? But, because I was kind of almost halfway expecting somebody to turn this. I'm glad that they didn't.
Nope.
But it just had that feeling, especially when Duke Hudson came out, that it's like, I feel like somebody's about to be betrayed.
Yeah, but they were not. It was funny. Maybe, you know, he's a mellow and he doesn't miss. And then you go and think about Carmelo Anthony. Yeah. Anyway. Basketball joke. So again, this was again establishing Carmelo Hayes as a focal point of the brand. It's a thing now. So it was
a good thing.
It was a good thing. Kaden Carter and Casey Catanzaro took on Gigi Dolin and JC Jane. Before the match, they were talking to Mandy Rose, but you couldn't see her. In this match, you ended up seeing her at the end. And Kaden and Casey won by DQ. Mandy came in. Mandy's a brunette. Thoughts before we continue from that point?
I don't like JC and Gigi. I just can't get into them. I don't know why, but there's just something about them that just comes off as very disingenuous. And I just can't feel them. You know, it's like they're trying to, it feels like they're trying to be the punk version of the Iconics, and it's just not working for me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what was going on with Mandy's face. And I don't mean this negatively, but her face looked weird. I can't tell if it's the hair color. I can't tell if it's the way that they had her made up. I can't tell if potentially she's had work done. I don't know. But there was something about her face, especially when she came out and she's doing this really over-exaggerated snarl, right? She's like, I'm evil now. And she has that look on her face like, I'm a bad guy, because she's brunette. Which, I mean, brunettes are evil, absolutely, but natural brunettes are evil, guys. Let us have our thing. It's all we have left. Blondes and redheads kind of took everything else. So, I don't know. Like, I'm not feeling it. I need to see more of it. But just the way that her face was, and I'm kind of thinking it might be the lip color that was throwing me off, because it was this really bright cherry kind of red lipstick, and it just didn't suit her skin tone, at least to me, because in a darker environment, I think it might have looked better, but because you have everything so bright in NXT, she comes out with this like really bright cherry lipstick. It just was like one more thing, and the light hit it, and it just didn't work. It was really weird.
So it turned into a six person, and Sarai came out to make the save. Mandy's crew got the win. Okay. Ridge Holland defeated Drake Maverick.
Poor Drake.
The Creed brothers won their match, so that was solid. Good. And they had cut a little promo, and they've added a female, Ivy Nile, who was from Titan Games.
She looks good. She looks badass.
So it's good. So it was time for your main event, a four-way for the NXT Championship. During one of these matches, you had an inset where Ridge Holland took out Kyle O'Reilly.
It was Ridge and Pete.
Ridge and Pete took out Kyle. So they needed to fill it. Regal brings in Von Wagner.
Who made the save for Kyle.
Made the save for Kyle, which is why he got the opportunity. So Von Wagner, first match on NXT, gets thrown into the title match with LA Knight, Pete Dunne, and Tommaso Ciampa. Pretty good main event match for the championship. Von Wagner is Cal Bloom, which is one of the Beverly Brothers kids. So there's more history there. But in about eight, nine minutes, Tommaso Ciampa became the new NXT champion. People are going, oh, this could have been a better match, could have been longer. Yeah, it could have been, but it was when they planned out the show, this match was only a contenders match.
Yeah, they weren't anticipating Samoa Joe having to have the title taken off of him, and they didn't adjust accordingly for it. They just left it as is. What I found really interesting about this was that they put it on Tommaso. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with them putting it on Tommaso, but given the fact that like Pete Dunne was right there, and I don't know if it's he hadn't re-signed the contract yet, and so they weren't sure. I don't know what the circumstances, if like Pete's going up in the draft, and that's why they're like, no, we're not going to put the title on him. But I just found it really, really sort of like, I don't want to keep saying interesting, but that's the only word I have, to that they didn't put it on Pete.
Because I don't think Tommaso is long-term as champion.
I don't think he is either. I think they let Tommaso finally get back to the title to give him Goldie one more time, and then it's going to move to somebody else. The question is who?
Well, we can tell you who it could be, because Bron Breakker congratulated Tommaso to end NXT.
And what was a really nice sort of callback moment, very similar to what they did with Taker and Cena way back in the day, where Taker sort of gave Cena the rub on TV. You had the same thing here. It was even if it was unintentional, it was a nice little callback to that. They see something in Bron Breakker. They absolutely 100% see something in him, and I would agree with that. He's going to be something for them. He's going to be money for them. He has it. You can see it. He has wonderful presence. He can talk. We didn't hear him talk a lot, but he can talk. And as far as I can tell, he can wrestle, but I don't think he really wrestled. So we'll see how it goes. But right now, just from presence alone, yeah, they got something here.
So that's NXT, right?
No.
Oh, There's one other thing.
There's one other small detail that was going on throughout the night. Now, if you've listened to this show for any length of time, you know I'm trash, and I love a really good wrestling wedding. I don't know why, other than I think they're amazingly entertaining. And I'm just going to say this right now. You know it was good because the internet hated it. Because it's not serious. So throughout the night, we saw the preparations for the wedding. We had a recap of building everything coming up to the wedding, how the relationship started, how it sort of built to this moment, that kind of thing. And I didn't realize this until Rock brought this up in our conversation, but this has been going on for 8 months.
Yep.
I didn't realize that because I was like, wow, it felt like they did the proposal really, really fast. And then it's like, no, they didn't.
Yeah.
It's been 8 months. They've been building to this for 8 months. It doesn't feel like that, but they did a really good job with it. That you sit here and you're like, oh my God, it is. Because it doesn't feel like it. But you had the grooms, men, getting ready. Johnny, Cameron, Odyssey, in their best dress. Dexter Lumis, black shirt, tight gray pants, boots, and gloves. All matching. Cameron, of course, wore his sport coat with no shirt. But, you know.
Still black.
And he had his top hat. And then, well, we had a family reunion. Because Austin Theory came home for Indy's wedding. And he was all smiles. That was a nice little touch.
And he knew every wedding needed a what?
Needed a priest. He brought Damian Priest for the party. And they're like, he can't do it. He's not a priest.
Nope.
He's just a name. And Damien's like, I can still fix it. We're going to have a bomb-ass reception. Just, y'all. I feel like it was a really missed opportunity for Damien to be like, but I can do weddings. Just throwing that out there.
Yeah.
But they didn't do it, and I know why they didn't do it. We'll get to it. So, on the flip side, we had the ladies getting ready. They're getting their hair done. They're getting their makeup done. They have these lovely lilac gowns. They all look wonderful. We see Indy from the back in the dress. Staring at herself in the mirror, she's preparing to walk down the aisle. And I'm going to say this. They spent some money on that dress. That was a nice dress in terms of wrestling wedding dresses. Say that three times fast. That was a nice one.
Yeah.
I mean, that was up there. Maybe we could do a tier list. Wrestling wedding dresses.
Put it in notes.
And then it comes to the actual ceremony. And this is where I like the set. Because it's a blank LED board like Raw and SmackDown are. And so they spruced it up with this perforce perspective image that recedes back so it feels bigger than it actually is. It's like, okay, that's a nice touch. Beautiful fake chandelier in the picture. And everybody's walking out. We're having red carpet for the wedding. Everybody's in their best. We see the grizzled young veterans.
Commenting that probably stuff's going to happen. It's a wrestling wedding.
Thank you for the fourth wall break. We appreciate that.
You had Ember, EO, you had a bunch of everyone out there.
You're all walking out. They're in their Sunday best for Indy and Dexter's wedding. We have the groomsmen come out. We have the bridesmaids come out. And then it's the big reveal and one of the most awkward wedding walks I think I've ever fucking seen in my life. Johnny and Indy walk to the ring. Oh, before this, we saw Dexter getting ready and he looked very dapper in his black and gold tails. Like, I appreciate the swag on the tails. That was nice. But he's dressed up in his finest and he's waiting at the altar as Johnny and Indy walk and walk. Like, they did the traditional step, step, step wedding walk. It's not a normal, casual, like, natural walk. It's the forced, we're going to march to the aisle, damn it.
Mm-hmm.
So Johnny gets up there. He's holding on to Indy tight and Candace is like, what are you doing? He's like, I'm giving her away. And we have the officiant get up and Candace is trying to get Johnny to sit down. And she's like, no, I've got this. And then the officiant goes, who gives this woman?
Hold on. Before we get to that, before Johnny had to sit down, who gives Johnny away? Okay.
Yeah. So, and then Johnny's like, Jonathan, do you say Jonathan or do you say John Gargano?
No, he said Johnny Gargano, Johnny Wrestling, Johnny Takeover, all his nicknames. Then they said John Gargano.
And he starts putting himself over. And that's when Candace is like, smacks him. And she's like, sit down.
Sit down.
He's like, but she's like, this is not about you. Sit down.
And then she's like, are you sure? Are you sure? Are you sure? And he reluctantly lets go of her.
He lets go of her and we have them face each other. And then we have Indy. We go to the vows and Indy pours her heart out to Dexter.
But we learned something before you
go. We learned that Dexter snuck into Indy's room at Johnny and Candace's house.
No, okay. Yeah, that and things may or may not have happened. Totally did. No, I was going to say we learned his middle name.
Dexter Gaylord Loomis.
Meet the parents. Nice little tie in there.
And so, yes, but yeah, that's the other thing. We learned Dexter's middle name. And, you know, Indy pours her heart out. She says these beautiful vows. Everybody's really, really touched.
Dexter's her freak.
Yes, he's a freak, but he's her freak and she loves him. Everybody's very touched. And it's like, aww. And the best part of this whole thing was that there was a live crowd to react to it.
Yeah.
Because that just made it. Like, you need live crowds for this kind of thing. Like, everybody's very touched. We get an awe from the crowd. Then it comes to Dexter, and he's standing there, and it's, okay, Dexter, you know, your vows to Indy. And he just gives her a thumbs up, and she's touched, right? Because it's the whole question of, is Dexter going to speak? Well, he doesn't speak here, but he does give Indy the thumbs up. And the officiant's like, that's it? That's all you're going to do?
Oh, before we get there, we forgot one thing. We forgot the rings, because the rings were first.
Oh, that's right, that's right, that's right. The rings. Austin was supposed to have the rings.
And he's like, we're in the ring, silly.
We're standing in a ring, and they're like, no, no, honey, no. That's about Austin.
So Eichmann Giro then opened up his jacket to show off his ring.
Well, he had the ring. He had the wedding rings. Yeah. Somebody took responsibility for that and made sure the rings got there, and I respect them wholeheartedly for that. I don't know who did it, but well done. But yeah, so the officiant kind of gets into it with Dexter a little bit. Dexter, not, you know, really wanting to put up with that on his wedding day, proceeds to choke out the officiant. And leave him playing. Wait, no, was the objection before? No, the objection was after.
No, the objection was first. The objection was first. So, okay. So, we had the rings, and then we had the objection. The fishing asked, do we have anyone objection to this marriage? And everyone raises their hand. And then Dexter opened up his coat.
He had his formal axe.
He had his formal axe, and everyone's hands sort of went back down.
I love this so much that you just have Dexter Loomis very subtly threaten to murder every single person in that ring unless they let him marry Indy.
Mm-hmm.
It was a nice touch. It was a really nice touch. She's like, we're doing this, okay?
So he left the officiant laying, and the crowd was starting to chant for Damien because, you know, priest. But the guy's like, you know, Regal could do it. Regal, he's a GM. He can do whatever he wants. And Regal's like, no.
I love how they pan Regal, and he's like, not it.
No.
Not
no,
it.
No.
Not nope.
Right. It's, no. Nope. 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 Not going to be a thing. Nope. And then who got in the ring, Lindsay?
Well, ever the Girl Scout, ever prepared, Aunt Betty, a.k.a. Beth Phoenix, climbs up in the ring and kind of pushes the officiant's body out of the way.
Ever so slightly.
Ever so slightly. Very daintily does it. Takes the binder, rips out a page, tosses it aside.
This is all.
She's like, we're just going to get to the good stuff.
This is all I need.
This is it. She's like, so I thought this might happen or something might happen. So I went online last night and I got ordained as a minister. And the crowd pops. Because I think we all wanted Beth to do it, but it was like working it out how, because she hadn't been a part of the ceremony. So it's like, we want Aunt Betty. And we got her. It was so amazing.
So she asked, it's time to cut to the chase. Then Andre Chase got up and started trying to cut a promo, and then Odyssey Jones took him out.
Which was great. Crowd pop for that, too. Odyssey's like, I got this! I got it! You know, honestly, in terms of wedding tradition, that's what the groomsman used to be used for. That's why you brought, like, a best man. He was literally your best swordsman you could find. That's the tradition. That's how it all started.
So, it's time for the I do's, and Andy goes, I do! And then Dexter didn't say anything, and Beth was like, alright, I assume that's a yes, and then he covered the mic. And everyone's like, oh no, what's going on? He goes, I do.
I would like to point out that you could cut the tension of this with a knife. This was so good because they're like, you know, she's like, Beth, or she's like, and Beth's like, Indy, do you? And Indy's like, yes. And then we cut to Dexter, right? And there's this really long pause for Dexter. And everybody's kind of looking at him waiting, and he doesn't do anything. And that's when Beth's like, okay, well, I guess that's a yes. So, you know, okay, all right, well, by the power, you know, and she's starting to go into it, and he just covers the mic, and she's like, oh God, okay, all right, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. And then he's like, I? And everybody leans forward, right? Like, everybody watching in the arena, watching at home, everybody leans for because it's like, oh my god, he's talking, and oh my god, what if he says don't? What's gonna happen if he says don't, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so then he goes, do. People go nuts.
Austin like, popped tremendously.
Austin popped, Johnny popped, everybody in the ring popped, everybody in the building popped, everybody on Twitter popped. Like, it was just this massive thing of, oh my god, Dexter Lumis said his first words in his wedding to Indy, and it's, I do. Indy's touched, she's overcome, she's beklempt that, you know, her husband spoke at their wedding. She's very, very touched. And ladies and gentlemen, by, what was the website? GetOrdained.com, something
free,
like that.
Free wedding or something, I don't know, something made up.
Yeah, somethingordainedwebsite.com. Indy and Dexter are now husband and wife. This, I'm not going to say it's the best wrestling wedding because it didn't top EY and ODB.
No, but it was a really fun wedding.
This was really, really well done, and I applaud everybody who was involved in these shenanigans wholeheartedly, because you deserve it. Like, well done, guys. Really seriously well done. This was a lot of fun to watch. This was a great, I don't even know if it's like a stepping stone or if it's a completion to the storyline, at least this part of the story.
Mm-hmm.
But I really enjoyed this tremendously. So I guess we'll see where Indy and Dexter go from here. They're on their honeymoon. Can you imagine like the honeymoon stuff?
Oh, if they actually show some of it, that'll be great.
I'm sure they will.
We'll see.
We'll see.
That was NXT.
So, all right, I say we take our first and only break of the evening. And when we come back, guys, we are going to be talking all things Fortnite. That's right, it's Chapter 2, Season 8. You don't want to miss it. So you're listening to The Rack right here on WallTalkRadio.com, and we'll be right back.
Are you following us on twitch.tv/WTR live? Do you have Amazon Prime? If so, you can link it to your Twitch account and subscribe to our Twitch channel for free with Twitch Prime. It's the easiest way to help support us for free.
Hey y'all, you want to get social with The Rack? Follow us on Instagram, instagram.com/RackRadioShow.
Mondays. Once Monday Night Raw ends, join us for the Monday Night Raw post show.
Today I have something super serious to talk to you about.
Join us as we break down all the highs, the lows, and all the holy f- moments that go down every single Monday night.
Exercise!
It's the Raw post show, Monday nights 11 p.m. Eastern.
Do I have your attention now?
Streaming live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
What is the greatest of all time? Saturday nights. We decide from sports, video games, movies, and even the X-rated. You help us decide what is the greatest of all time. It is the Great and Great Debate, a part of your Saturday night.
Event.
CB Radio, Saturday nights, midnight-ish Eastern, on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Did you know you can use support a creator code ROCKNSOCK in the Fortnite item shop? That's ROCKNSOCK in the Fortnite item shop. Hashtag ad because we are a hashtag epic partner.
This is WWE superstar Drew McIntyre, and you are listening to The Rack Radio Show on Wild Talk Radio.
There once was a unicorn with 90 little feet. They shared yummy rainbows with everyone in the square. Reggie and their Chewy and their Milky, Tommy Ace. Everybody gets some unicorn flakes.
It's a party in my hoof!
And welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out at YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you happen to be on Twitch, it's September, and you can subscribe to the channel for 20% off, or you can subscribe for free. Using your Prime Gaming sub, all you have to do is hit the little purple button down at the bottom of the screen, and you can do both. It really is that simple. Or you can follow the channel, or hang out in chat, or listen to the archive. We are happy to have you any way we can get you. And are we just doing Fortnite?
Yeah.
So I have to explain the epicness that was what we came into. Pun intended. They wrote a jingle, y'all. Like, they wrote a jingle for Unicorn Flakes, and I don't know what to do with that. And it's long!
It's 2 minutes and something seconds.
It's insane!
So it's a, what's it, it's called Flake Shake, which is a part of the Battle Pass. By the way, this segment is brought to you by Creator Code Rock and Soccer at Lindsay Ward in the Fortnite Item Shop. Hashtag Epic Partner.
So, alright, last season you saw the event, it ended with Sloan leaving us for dead.
Which you can see on YouTube at youtube.com/rockradioshow or twitch.tv/lindsward.
The mothership exploded and bits and pieces rained all over the island, fell to the earth. We saw multiple Kevins. We saw Blevin, who we're going to talk about in a minute. And there was even a little sneak peek surprise in the mothership that not a lot of people caught, but some people didn't put it out there, which will lead to more of the story. But it ended with the mothership exploding and us getting hit with a spaceship.
Yep.
Which hurt.
Yep.
But we're back on the island. We're fine. Everything's good. And well, there is bits and pieces of the mothership all over the map. It looks like it's interesting. The goo, I don't know how else to describe it, that came out of all of these ships where it almost looks organic. Mm-hmm. Actually kind of looks like bleach, like, you know, paint thinner bleach.
Mm-hmm.
But it fell at locations all over the map. It killed everything around it, took the life and the color out of everything, drained it. And we now have new locations all over the map as a result. They basically had it fall in a lot of areas where there wasn't a ton of cover or there wasn't just any really anything there. No locations really got destroyed in this. You have you have locations impacted, like Slurpee's impacted, Dirty's impacted, Holly's impacted, Misty's impacted. Like, there's stuff around locations, but the actual locations itself, they're still there.
Yep.
Pretty much intact, so they didn't destroy everything.
They added to the map.
Yeah, they basically added stuff to the map, but they did not subtract, per se. But it opens with a trailer of Kevin being rediscovered. And they're poking and they're prodding and they wake Kevin up. And Kevin rolls over on top of a person and we get introduced to the Sideways, aka the pimple. Because that's what it looks like.
Because that's a thing. The zombie zone.
Yeah, basically it's Fort Nightmare season. There's fog, there's zombies, but the zombies for right now are contained within the pimple.
Pimples.
Itself.
Pimples.
Pimples. Because there's a standard pimple on the map that just takes over a location for that game, and then there's surprise pimples. Are those re-enabled?
Yes.
Okay, cool, because I have challenges I need to do in them.
Same.
So you have those, they can surprise you all over the map, and you can go and fight, you can get basically pimple-inspired weapons, where they're dark and they're creepy, and they have Kevin energy in them, and they're basically the IO weapons. There's a minigun, there's a rifle, and I think there's a shotgun?
No, right now there's only a minigun and a rifle.
Okay, alright. Because I don't think there's a shotgun, but
there are other things coming.
So there's that. So if you want to go to fight in the pimple, you can. It is a hot zone. And you can just stay in there as long as it's in the circle, and you can just shoot zombies to your heart's content.
Pretty much.
But there's a story update.
Lore? Do tell.
So basically, what has been teased for at least two seasons now is this is the last reality. Something happening with the Zero Point. It's
destabilized because of everything that went on with the Bounty Hunter season and Jonesy bringing people in and out of the map. The Zero Point destabilized. They try to save it. The aliens blew it up. And now here we are.
Here, in fact, we are.
The map has sort of gone back to being quote-unquote primal again, and you have alien stuff everywhere, you have animals everywhere, but there's a voiceover of a very evil-sounding lady who more or less basically says, we're going to blow your island to smithereens. There's going to be nothing left by the time we get done. Like, oh, hey, look, you thought you saved your stuff. You thought wrong.
Lol.
And by the time we get done with it, there's going to be nothing left. So basically what's being teased is the destruction of the Chapter 2 map, which I think people have been waiting for because there was a rumor they were going to destroy it for season, I think this season, correct?
What, I think so.
And it ended up being where they didn't do it because Unreal Engine 5 was not ready.
No, I think this season was going to be after this season.
So we'll see if it still happens. But yeah, basically the implication is that the end is nigh for this map. We're going to get a new-ish map in some variety. We don't know what.
Nope.
But basically now we have to protect the map, defend the map, save the map from whoever's coming, which are the aliens slash Kevins.
And there are multiple Kevins on the map currently. That will move a little bit. There's one by Dirty, there's one by Pleasant, there's a gold one by Holly, and then Lindsay's favorite, Blevin. Which is the blue one.
He's all blue. I shouldn't say he, but I call them all he. So yes, Blevin is blue, there's Goldie, which is pretty cool looking. And yeah, they're all kind of gravitating or starting to gravitate towards Goldie. So, and they kind of teased in the trailer that basically what they're all going to come together and form something. We don't know what. Probably the ultimate Kevin. But what's been kind of teased is that the gold Kevin is tied to the queen of the cubes, and she's supposedly coming. I think she might be the Battle Pass skin. Or not the Battle Pass skin, but like the secret skin for this season. Because Venom is the level 100 skin.
That was interesting. I was flying into Blevin, and there was a bunch of trees around them, and then they disappeared.
Yeah, you noticed that too?
Yeah, I just did it in Battle Lab to show the people Blevin.
Yeah, it was, I saw that yesterday when we were flying into COD, and I was like, huh, that's weird.
Might be a glitch.
Might be a glitch. Or it could be the trees are going to grow over time, and they shrink. Because the theory is that Blevin is the healing cube. Because there's a whole bunch of, like, mushrooms, and he's in a very pretty spot, and basically the area's been beautified with Blevin there.
Yeah.
And in the primal season, they tease the sisters. So could this be the sisters? I don't know.
I don't think it's the sisters, but there's a connection somewhere.
Yeah, there's a connection that we haven't seen or heard from yet. But yeah, this is a very, very lore-heavy season. The Battle Pass reflects that as well.
It does. Do you want to talk about the Battle Pass now?
Let's talk about the Battle Pass. And let's talk about your favorite thing in the Battle Pass.
Okay, my favorite thing about the Battle Pass is tuna fish. As you all just saw the character on the screen. I'm going to bring it up here in a second. But tuna fish, right, is amazing. All right? So awesome. So what you see is when you get him, he's a plain white skin. Plain black and white grayish skin. Which then you can colorize and make him your own.
Which is really freaking cool.
Yeah. So there's 21 colors on the map of paint that you have to collect. And with those, you can then customize tuna fish to whatever you want. You can fully go color by color, or simple color, or you can mix and match whatever you want. And then there are styles. There are 21 styles currently, and there are more coming. But you got everything from Love Ranger, to Gold Trooper, to Renegade Raider, to Cuddle Team Leader, to Peely, and Lindsay's boy, Midas. Like, it is one of the coolest things they've ever put together. Because it's very simple, but it's so unique at the same time. It's like, for just one skin, you have at least 42 different skins currently. Because there's another 21 coming after that.
And on top of that, not only can you do the skin, I think you can do the back bling.
You can change the back bling, and the glider that comes with him.
Which, the glider is actually really cool.
Yeah, I'll pull that up here. Right here, the whale. You can change that to the different character colors.
I think you can do the pickaxes too. I think the whole set.
There's no. Oh yeah, the guitar. Yeah, you can do the guitar as well to the color.
Yeah. Like, that's pretty wicked that they did that. Because they've been kind of, like, introducing the old school Toon skins into the game, and they did Meowsles first, and it was like, okay, all right, so they're doing Toon, they're doing Fishstick. And it was just like, when you saw this, you're like, oh, okay, this is neat.
Yeah, so I'm showing chat now. You can see on your screen the different colors for the pickaxe. You can change it to whatever colors you earn in the season, which is great. Also, oh, peep it, chat. There's the umbrella. It's kind of awesome.
Because we did the thing, y'all. We did the thing.
A lot of hard work, but we did the thing.
Yeah, because this season it was a little trickier to get, but we got it.
We got the umbrella. Cool. It's full of Kevins. It's cubed. Anyway, back to the battle pass.
Back to the battle pass. I really like Core. I really like Torin. I think all the skins, all the cosmetics, everything they put in this battle pass is really, really nice. I think they outdid themselves beyond what they did last season. Like, last season was cool, but it was obviously alien theme because the theme was aliens. But this was all, you can tell that a lot of these characters are lore characters. And they're going to carry the story forward, which I really, really, really like. And I'm really excited to find out more about them. Because I think at this point where I'm at with the game, I'm not as interested in the Battle Royale as much as I am in the story. And where they're going with the story of the game. And what's next. Because one thing that we forgot to mention from the trailer was Mr. The Foundation. Remember that guy? Remember the guy that was like in the spire for an entire season and then the aliens blew it up and he fell in the ocean and nobody knows what happened to him?
He's alive.
He lives. He's coming. And it will be the most electrifying moment in all of Fortnite.
I smell what you're cooking.
Do you? Do you?
I do. Just a little bit. A little bit. Just a little bit.
I mean, it's kind of an eyebrow popping thing, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, that was another thing. So, we're having that build where we could see the Return of the Seven as well.
Yeah, this is a really cool battle pass overall. Like, there's, Lindsay did a whole breakdown of it. You can check it out on the YouTubes and on her Twitch. But it's a really cool battle pass. I like it. Carnage is whatever. Because if you're a big fan of Marvel, it's Carnage. Have fun with it.
I'm just surprised they, I mean, I know it's for the movie type. But I'm surprised they put Carnage, because Carnage is not a kid-friendly skin.
No, but Fabio Sparklemane is.
Fabio Sparklemane is just slightly ridiculous, and I love it. Like, when we saw the loading screen come out that night of the hyper-realistic unicorns.
I wasn't for it.
I was for the hyper-realistic unicorns. I'm not going to lie. I really kind of wanted them.
I wasn't. I didn't like it. I don't mind him now.
But, like, seeing this, I'm like, okay, all right. I see what you did there, Epic. Well done. Well played. Okay. Good job.
All right. So that's the battle pass itself. A couple things about the game itself right now. There's a lot of the zombie mode that Lindsay talked about. There are too many wildlife on this map.
Oh, my God. They brought raptors back.
They brought raptors back. There's wolves. There's boars. There's sharks. There's everything. There's birds now that apparently will be rideable at some point. Or maybe anything will be rideable with a saddle. Who knows? It's Fortnite. Who the hell knows? I'm not a fan of just pumps and levers and charge shotguns. Tac should honestly always be a staple of Fortnite.
Yeah, they adjusted the weapons pool and they kind of did stuff to the weapons pool that I'm not like 100% on with Rock, because they took the tacs out. They took the heavy ARs out, which I'm fine with. That's not a problem. I did like the tac. I hate lever shotguns. Please take those out. I get it. I understand it, but please put the tac back in. I don't want to be that player, but please, for the love of God, put the tac back in.
Unless the combat's coming back and not the nerf version. If we get a pretty decent combat, I'm okay, you know?
I guess.
But you like the combat.
Oh, I love the combat. Don't get me wrong. I love the combat. It's one of my favorite guns. But, like, I really got used to using the tac this past season, and I really like the tac. And if I have to pick between a tac and a pump, I'm going to take the tac every time. But for whatever reason, they're keeping the pumps in. And they did adjust the pump, like, it's a little bit better, but it's still, like, the purple and the golds are good, but it's like you get a blue or a green, and it's just kind of trash. Like, it's not a good gun. It still sticks.
Yeah.
So it still has its problems, and I just feel like, and I understand that there were probably too many shotguns on the map, because they're bringing more in. They also took out bolt-action snipers, but they left the rails. Why?
I don't get that, but here we are.
So rails are still in the game, but they took off
out bolt-action snipers, and they put in what could be considered one of the worst decisions. They put in the automatic right sniper, but it's not the good automatic sniper.
You mean the semi-auto?
Yeah, the semi.
No,
the
which semi-auto. The semi-auto is the one you like.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's they put in an automatic sniper, but it's not the good one. It's the trash one.
Which I don't think anyone was clamoring for and returning, but here we are.
Here we are.
But overall, the game feels okay. It's a little sweaty at times. The challenge system with leveling up is different.
I like how they adjusted the punch cards. I like how it's now character based and it's a progression. That's really, really nice, as opposed to open, 5,000 chests and run 500,000 miles and do all these really stupid things that nobody wants to fucking do, but we're gonna make you do them. So I really, because most of it's just gameplay, but some of it's just depending on how you play the game, it's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like at some point you have to start like grinding punch cards, and it just kind of sucks.
But at the same time, you're missing a lot of XP on the map right now.
Yeah. Like, that's the one thing that does suck, is you do not level as fast that maybe you don't need to here. Like, maybe it's, for whatever reason, maybe it's lower. I don't think it is. I think it's at least the same level.
So you're going to have to get some XP somewhere. The question is where. That's the million-dollar question at this point. So it's like, that's frustrating, because you don't gain as much XP playing Battle Royale. You can sit in other modes and gain it other ways. And that's the annoying part, where you can farm XP elsewhere. It's not in not in the main game, which makes zero sense. If the core of the game is Battle Royale, you should be able to gain your XP, the majority of it, in Battle Royale, you know?
Uh-huh. No, I agree with that completely. But they're doing something with it. I don't know if they feel like everybody had too much XP last season, or if... like, what the game is here, but the only thing I can figure is they're going to have a lot more, like, character challenges, and it could be that the NPCs are going to rotate around the map. I don't know, what the deal with that is, or if you're going to have new NPC challenges at some point with the existing characters, like, you complete the first set, and then, because they say more coming, and there's new people coming because there's stuff coming in for Fort Nightmares.
There could be a bunch more NPCs coming, but I don't know. It just feels like it's a weird situation right now in terms of XP. I'm not the biggest fan of it, because I like going in doing... like, Lindsay doesn't like the stupid bullshit challenges that they give you, like, farming and everything like that. I did, because it was an easy way to level. I also see why they're doing it the way they're doing it, because they want people to spend more V-Bucks on tiers. So... I can see why they're doing it a certain way, but that's where we are with it. Overall, the season will be all right. It's going to have its moments. It's going to be a struggle at times, but I think the group of us are getting past our frustrations with it a little bit now that we won. Because there's a lot of frustrations between the three of us, and yeah.
I don't know. Like, I'm still not enamored with it.
No, but the season will turn out okay.
The season will turn out okay, but like I told you, what I don't like about the game, and this is a trickle over from last season, is just the grind, 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 sweat, 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 depending on what lobbies you end up in. And I really don't like the tryhards being in the game. And I understand that they're always going to be there, but it's not a fun experience when everybody is trying hard and everybody's sweating their balls off and everybody's just trying to go for kill records and everything else. I mean, I don't know if that's what they're doing, but just being the lobbies that we've been in, and I'm pretty sure we went up a tier and that's why we're here, it's just not as fun. It's not as enjoyable. It's just try hard every fight, getting dropped on, getting third party, getting smacked around. That's not what I enjoy about this game. I never have. That's why when I initially started playing, I wouldn't play solos. I would play squads, but I would never really get involved, because it's like I never wanted to deal with the people that build, because I just can't outbuild them. I can't play like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like Rumble and 50 versus 50 were kind of the havens for me, because people were not as sweaty in those modes, and now those have been taken over, or Rumble's been taken over, and they've just like absolutely shit all over Rumble and made it terrible, because I think they're trying to kill it. And so now the only refuge I have left is creative, to kind of sit in and just run death runs or do whatever I want in it, and I don't have to worry about playing the Battle Royale. Like, I think that's just
like I said, at this point where I'm at with the game, having played the Battle Royale for 3 years, it's like I'm kind of losing the appeal. Like, at this point, you play it just to have something to do. It's just a habit.
Yeah. And that happens from time to time with the game. And it's like they haven't given you anything to spark it. And the lobbies will change once arena points get reset and people will be less sweaty and all that fun stuff. So it's going to come, but it's going to be a struggle. But we're going to still play it. We're still going to stream it on Saturdays. There may be a Saturday we'll do something else as well. So that's your Fortnite with Friends update. Maybe we'll do more Rumbles occasionally if the game does not feel right to us. So you've all been warned what may come.
Stupidity.
Or we'll do creative maps. You know, we'll let Brent rage and death runs.
Because that's entertaining too.
Mainly entertaining to me and Lindsay. And you guys. So here we are. And yeah, so that's sort of where we are with things. I'm going to like the season. Like Lindsay talked about throughout the thing, it's the lore of the season's going to be cool. So we'll see where it goes.
I'm excited to see how they update the story and where they take us from here, because this is something I've been waiting for. We're starting to ramp up. You know, Sloane succeeded, but she also failed. Because while the ship and the aliens are destroyed, now the Kevin cubes are all over the map. Because one thing that we saw in the event was Kevin returned. And Sloane's like, there's no way. There's no way this is impossible. And it's like, well, no, it's entirely possible, because essentially the ship was made up of Kevin. Kevins. Mm-hmm. Multiple Kevins.
Yeah.
A whole army of cubes. And what is that going to mean? And how is that going to get, you know, how is that going to basically impact the map? Because we have Kevins all over the map. We have Blevin. We have Gold Kevin. You know, just all these different things. How is this going to go? How, you know, are the cubes going to form one big master cube with the gold one as their leader? I don't know.
It'll be fun to find out.
But it's like, we clearly thought that, like, the aliens were the ones leading the destruction. It's like, no, I don't think they were. I think they were just the army. I think the Kevins are the ones that are actually leading the ship and driving the ship and trying to destroy the island for some reason. So we'll have to see where it goes. I'm very curious. They've got my attention. And at some point, I think I said this last season. I think I've said it a couple times, but I'm just going to reiterate it. At some point, I would really love for Epic to actually, like, go through the full story. Like, I know there are unofficial accounts that have gotten the full story, but I would really love at some point for Epic to, like, put the full thing down on, like, paper or put it out digitally of how it all evolved and how it all changed and where it's going. Not necessarily where it's going from here, but with every chapter update, you get that lore update with it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that would be really, really cool to see and have and read, because that would give you a lot of insight in terms of the story of the game, because they're very clearly is one, and it's at least 2 seasons out at this point. That's the other thing I really like, is that they admitted we are planning at least 2 seasons out. So there's, at some point it'll happen, but for right now, we're not going to have that awkward, well, we don't know what it's going to be. Because of how they do this game, of how they tell the story, they are making sure that there isn't that really awkward gap, that they have to be prepared, because they have to make everything for it. So they can't sit here and be like, oh, well, you know, 6 weeks from launch, well, we don't know. No, they have to know, and they have to have a specific amount of leeway to do everything that they're going to do and it have it function properly most of the time. Lag that first day was epic. Let me just say that. It's awesome. But yeah, I think that does it for us. What do you think?
I say we're done for the evening.
All right. So you got stuff to plug, so plug away.
Coming soon, the Rack Extra Reviews, NBA 2K22. Probably next week. Got behind because of Fortnite, so that'll come. Saturday night, midnight, it's another edition of SuperRadio, SuperLive.com, GrowTheGreatDebate.com. Sunday night, WTR Sunday night, Russell Talk Radio, 10 p.m. Eastern. Monday night, the Raw Post Show, 11 p.m. Eastern. We're back next Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. Wait, are we... No, I'm looking at the calendar. It's a preview. Apparently Sunday we're doing a preview. We'll preview next week. A pay-per-view. So
wait, what's next week?
In 2 weeks is the Extreme Rules, so we're previewing it.
Oh, shit!
Yeah, that's why I looked at the calendar. So you have a preview show next week. Easy for us to come up with the content.
Woo!
The Rack Radio Show on all social media platforms, wherever you get your podcasts, that's Google, Amazon, Apple, wherever you get your podcasts, we're there. It's at WildTalkRadio, Facebook.com/WildTalkRadio. If you have Amazon Prime, link you to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming. And you can support the channel by clicking that purple rectangle on the bottom of the screen because it is September. You also use creator code RocketSock or
Linz M. Ward.
In the Fortnite, I am Jammer, Epic Games Store. Why?
Because we are hashtag Epic Partners. You can follow me on most of the social medias at Linz Ward, LNSWRD. And don't forget to check out. Don't forget to check out our very fine sponsor, MBGFilmsYouTube.com/MBG1211. So for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to Rock right here on WildTalkRadio.com. I need to go because I can't talk anymore, so we will see you next week. Till then, bye!